This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to gather in a house of His houses. Indeed, this is a great blessing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight's lecture is titled Guided by the Quran. And at the very beginning, I wanted to share with you a narration. And this is the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in which he says that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, he said to Jibreel alayhi salam, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَزُورَنَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا تَزُورَنَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complaining to Jibreel. He says to him, what is preventing you from visiting us more than you already visit us? Because Jibreel alayhi salam would visit the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would give him al-wahi, give him ayat. And this is happening from time to time. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, why don't you visit us more? You see, this is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Quran and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's eager and he's passionate about continuously seeing Jibreel so that Jibreel alayhi salam could recite unto him what Allah azza wa jalla has said. That's the love the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the Quran. As though the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the Ummah with these words, don't you dare cut your relationship with the Quran. Jibreel is coming to me often, but I want him to come more than he already comes. So Jibreel alayhi salam came down with an ayah, and he said, and this is قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, and Jibreel alayhi salam now is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ, that us, the angels, including myself, Jibreel, I only come down by the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So even though I'd love to come and see you more, except that we are commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal, and we only come down by Allah Azza wa Jal's command. But the narration in its entirety teaches us the attitude that the believer is supposed to have with this Quran. Where is this love that is embedded within the heart of the believer that he cannot, يعني, a day would be incomplete if he doesn't hold a copy of the Quran and recite something of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the day the Quran was revealed is the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descended upon mankind. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he described this Quran, he described it as shifa, a cure, لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, for the believers, and he described it as a rahmatun, as a mercy. Before the Quran came down, people were in chaos, people were in darkness, people were worshipping all sorts of things. They were worshipping idols and stones and rocks, and the moon and the star. They were burying their daughters alive. They were robbing one another. They were killing one another. They were oppressing one another. That's how this worldly life was. It was gloomy and dark before the Quran. The day the Quran came down was the day the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. And it was the day in which Allah's guidance came down to mankind. This is why in the Quran Allah Azza wa Jal describes the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He describes him just before the Quran was revealed, and he says, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا. He found you seeking. in a state of loss. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was desperate for something. He was looking for something. He wasn't satisfied spiritually. And this is why he would retreat and go to the mountain, into Ghar Hira, and practice solitude for many months. He was seeking, Allah would describe him, Dallan. And the moment the Quran came down, only five ayat came down, Allah Azza wa Jal would describe his state after the Quran. Fahada, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He guided you. What happened? What was the shift between ضَالًا تَهَدَى? It was the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came down. Allahu Akbar. Even the one who seeks guidance in life, the one who wants to walk upon a straight path, upon a clear path, that would lead him to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the paradise, has to have an intense and a strong relationship with the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in Surah Ar-Rahman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted the many blessings upon mankind and al-jinn, you know, Surah Ar-Rahman, the often repeated ayah is, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, and in this entire surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is reminding mankind wal-jinn. He's reminding them of the blessings and the favors that has bestowed upon them. At the very beginning of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal records the very first blessing. He says, Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an. That is the first blessing upon mankind wal-jinn, is that he taught them the Qur'an. He sent them an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sent Jibreel with the ayat unto the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he allowed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to live among the people until the entire message of the Qur'an was revealed to them. عَلَّمَ Quran. That is the greatest blessing upon mankind. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. He created the human being. And if you were to look at the sequence of this surah, he said, الرحمن علم القرآن. He taught the Qur'an. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. He created mankind. Which one came first? Most definitely Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being first. Then later on the Quran was revealed. But Allah Azza wa Jal, he switches this order in this ayah. And he mentions first the fact that he taught the Quran. And then he spoke the fact of creating mankind. And that is so we can understand that Allah Azza wa Jal has set our purpose already from before he created us. He already decreed our purpose already. And that was the Quran. So that was the set of laws. That's the book that mankind is supposed to follow. That's the legislation. And then afterwards he created the human being. Therefore the human being was only created to fulfill this. To fulfill this book. The more you follow this book and you follow the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this book, and you develop that relationship with the Quran, then you are living your purpose. You are fulfilling your purpose. You are fulfilling that which you were created for. Allahu Akbar. Then that is what we're learning from the very beginning of Surah Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, every Friday we read Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf is to be recited every Friday. That's the recommendation of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But have you pondered and noticed the style in which the first ayah is being made into? At the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab, wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, all praise belongs to the one who revealed his book onto his sleeve. Yani the very beginning of the surah, it is someone that is screaming out of happiness because of this Qur'an that he has between his hands. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. This is someone that is excited, someone that is full of joy and happiness. And he's screaming out, Alhamdulillah, for this book. Allahu Akbar. You know, when you receive a blessing in your life, when you get married, when your wife gives birth, when you get a job increase, when in your pay, when you win something, You're excited. You say, Alhamdulillah, for this gift and this blessing. Well, that's the beginning. That's the attitude of the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf. It is someone who is carrying the Quran and screaming, Alhamdulillah, for this blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا And he did not make any crookedness in the Qur'an. Meaning the one who follows the Qur'an will be قَيِّمًا Will be straight, will be upright. The further away you are from the Qur'an, the more crooked you become. The more deviated, the more misguided you become. The closer you are to the Qur'an, the closer you are to uprightness and steadfastness and guidance. And this is why at the very end of Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا Al-Firdaws was mentioned. Al-Firdaws was mentioned only twice in the Qur'an. And it was mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. Now put one and two together. The beginning of the Surah is speaking about a person's happiness with the Qur'an. The end of the Surah is speaking about جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ In other words, follow this Qur'an, commit to the laws of the Qur'an, and commit to the commandments of the Qur'an. And on the Day of Judgment, your position would be Jannatul Firdaus. That's the message in Surah Al-Kahf. And you want to know this path? You read what's in between Surah Al-Kahf, and that'll give you a great, clear path to understand how to get to Jannatul Firdaus. My brothers and sisters in Islam, with this introduction, we know the greatness of the Qur'an, the fact that the Qur'an is a mercy, it is a blessing upon mankind, it is a shifa, it is a ruh, it is the soul of the believer. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا Al-Qur'an was described as a ruh, as a soul. You know, if a soul is removed, a person becomes dead. Al-Qur'an is the spiritual soul, it's the soul of the heart. Meaning a person could still be alive physically, but his heart is dead if the Qur'an was removed from his life. And so here, I bring your attention to a matter that we have among us all and among the Muslims. The question is, how is your relationship with the Qur'an? We know the greatness of the Qur'an. We know the honor of the Qur'an. We know the virtue of the Qur'an and the greatness of the Qur'an, right? We know it. Aslan, just a few months ago, there was a person that burnt a copy of the Qur'an in Sweden. And people got up frustrated and angry, and rightfully so, of course, because the Qur'an is the word of Allah. No one, we don't allow anyone to dishonor the Qur'an, rightfully so. But the very same people that are defending the honor of the Qur'an, what is their relationship with the Qur'an? What kind of relationship do you have with the Qur'an? How disturbing is it to know that the greatest complaint of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment is, as Allah said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا How disturbing is it to know this fact that from the greatest complaints of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he directs to his Lord directly, يَا رَبِّ Not to Jibreel or to someone else. Ya Rabb, my Lord. Inna qawmi, my people, my nation. These people that I was sent to. Those who believed in me and those who don't believe in me. This nation of mine. Ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. They had known about this Qur'an, but they neglected it. They abandoned it. Mahjuran, from the word hijrah. Hijrah means to migrate, to travel. Meaning it implies a great distance from the Qur'an. Here they had nothing to do with it whatsoever. They just knew that there was a word and there was a book called Al-Qur'an. And there was no practical, solid relationship with this Qur'an. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that the people, they abandoned and neglected the Qur'an in five ways. Meaning what he's teaching us is that the believer is supposed to have five relationships with the Qur'an. They abandoned its recitation. So they didn't read it except in special occasions. In Ramadan, maybe if someone was to die, if they enter the graveyard, they innovate with reading the Qur'an. and they apply the sunnah at times. Yani, whatever the people are doing, they do. They abandoned the recitation of the Qur'an. And they abandoned listening to the Qur'an. It is also a sunnah to listen to the Qur'an and have time in which you sit and hear Allah Azza wa Jalla's command. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard and listened to the entire Qur'an from the beginning to its end. And that was the very first time when Jibreel alayhi salam was reciting it to him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would select some of the companions and say to him, Iqra alay, recite upon me, I want to hear the Qur'an from you. Imagine the panic that this companion would have. And they would respond and say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to read upon you, and upon you it was revealed. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, I love to hear it from other than me. Read, yalla. And people have abandoned listening to the Qur'an. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, people have abandoned al-istishfa'u bil-Qur'an, seeking treatment and cure through the Qur'an. Today when a person is sick or falls ill, he rushes to the doctor, to the medicine, and there's no issue. Don't understand wrong. There's no problems. That's all by the means. Go and do, exercise your means as best as you want. But where is the rush to the Qur'an at the very beginning? When Allah Azza wa Jal clearly said, Shifa'un wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen, that the Qur'an is a shifa', it is a treatment, it is a cure from spiritual diseases and physical diseases. That's what the Qur'an is. So the people abandoned that. And the people abandoned pondering over the Qur'an. Pondering over the Qur'an. Pondering meaning reading and implementing. Because what does pondering over the Qur'an means? It means to implement. You read wa aqimu salat, establish a salat. Then you get up and you pray salat al-isha. That is the highest level of pondering over the Qur'an. To implement the Qur'an. And people have abandoned this. They recite and they read commandments of Allah and prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are far away from that. And people have abandoned the Qur'an in terms of at-tahakum ilayh. At-tahakum ilayh, meaning setting this Qur'an as a judge between their affairs and disputes and matters. Who now, when he has a dispute with someone, he says, okay, let's go to the Qur'an and place that as a judge between us. Meaning we'll go to someone who understands the Qur'an, the rulings of the Qur'an, sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll say to him, our dear brother, we have an issue between us and we want Allah's ruling concerning our matter. That's long gone. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is saying that the people have abandoned these relationships at his time. That's what, almost 700 years ago? He's complaining from that time. What has happened from that time until today? Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we are in severe loss and in great loss if we do not understand what kind of relationship we're supposed to have with the Qur'an, and if we don't begin to develop and build this relationship with the Qur'an. I tell you something, and I bring to a reality that the majority experience and suffer. So you have people that want to recite the Qur'an, loves the Qur'an, and knows the value and the worth and the honor of the Qur'an. Tayyib, I want to read. But he complains and says, what's the point of reading? Yani, I read. And I've read this surah 100 times. Surah Al-Fatiha, we read it at least 17 times in our salat. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, I memorized it when I was 3 years old. And I've read it more than once, and alhamdulillah, it's all good. But I have to read it again. Why? Why do I have to read the Qur'an? I've read it once and twice and 300 times. Ethan, I want to answer this question with you. Because when you have this question and you don't find an answer for it, that means there is a confusion that needs to be clarified. What is this confusion? Why do we read the Qur'an? What is the point? What's the purpose of reading the Qur'an? Listen very carefully. Because if you understand this point, and if you implement it well from now on, with every time you open the Quran, it'll change your attitude towards reading the Quran dramatically. We read the Quran so that we can find our guidance within it. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said at the very beginning of the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book in which there is no doubt in it whatsoever. What a powerful start to the Quran. Is there any book on earth you have ever opened in your life, and it began by saying, this book has no doubt in it whatsoever? No one would dare to write that in his book, because it would become a laughing stock for people, because every single book that is published and authored on earth contains a mistake and there is doubt within it. So no one will ever dare to do something like that. And in fact, this ayah was a reason for why someone accepted Islam and documented the story of his Islam. He said, I never found a book on earth that began with such a powerful statement, saying that there is absolutely not an ounce or an atom's weight of doubt within it. So what's in it? Hudan lilmuttaqeen. There is an abundance of guidance within it for the believer, meaning the believer is the one who is going to benefit from the guidance within the Quran. That's why we read the Quran, because there's guidance in it. So now, we have tons of complaints from tons of people. I give you simple things. There are many fitan around us today. There's many evil, there's much corruption around us, especially in this day and age of social media. A lot of the youth complain, whether they say it or not, but the reality is that anyone who has social media is exposed to a lot of filth during the day and during the night. Too much adult content out there on social media. Well, shaitan tempts mankind very easily, especially if the phone is in your hand for hours and hours, going from reel to reel, from short to short, from picture to picture, going into this profile and into that profile, pleasuring your eyes with that which you see. If you were to read the Quran with the intention of seeking its guidance, wallahi an uqsimu billah, a quarter of an ayah would have solved this problem. This is an intense fitna. I need guidance. I need to come out of this trouble. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to watch this filth. I don't want to watch this garbage. It's hurting my iman. It's hurting my mental health, my physical health, my relationship with my wife and children, and so on. Open Surah An-Nur. An-Nur, the Surah of light. There's incredible light and abundance of guidance within it. Read Allah's message. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say and announce publicly to the believers and tell them to lower their gaze. You see, the one who reads the Quran to seek guidance is different to the one who's going to read the Quran for 10 hasanat per letter. And different to the one who reads the Quran because it's Ramadan and we have to read the Quran. And different to the one who says, I read the Quran because my cousin died last week and I'm scared, so I need to read the Quran. The one who's reading the Quran to source his guidance, stop. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. This is a message from Allah. This is giving me guidance. This is the solution to my problem. Lower your gaze. So that now, when you are in seclusion, alone, you, yourself, and your phone, and you're tempted to do something haram, You say to yourself, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believers to lower their gaze. That's a moment now between you and Allah. What are you going to do? You fight yourself. You struggle. You say, I'm going to implement Allah's advice for this very moment at least. This is guidance. This is guidance. So you say, I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to turn it off because I prefer what Allah has said over what my body is calling me to. My Lord has said, lower your gaze. That's guidance. That's your solution. Wallah, there's nothing else. This is the solution. How many programs, thousands and thousands of dollars are spent on programs, how to defeat pornography in your life, how to overcome this desire and that desire. We don't need all this. The believer doesn't need all this. The believer needs a quarter of an ayah and for him to take it seriously and to seek the guidance from that ayah. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Try it for once. Keep reading the ayah. Read it again. And keep reading it. And ponder. More. And more. And keep reading. 10 times. 20 times. 100 times. Until it grows in your heart. Until it calls you to action. Until it crushes your desire. And crushes your temptation. And the Quran will do this because this is the word of Allah. By Allah's permission, it'll do this. وَلَا يَثْقُلُ مَعَ اسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the name of Allah is weighed with anything else, the name of Allah azza wa jal will outweigh anything else. If it was your desire, your temptation, there's a struggle in life, whatever it is. Once you have on the other side of the scale, the name of Allah, the word of Allah, nothing can outweigh it. Very soon, you will find yourself having power and strength and ability by Allah's permission to overcome this desire of yours. And that was just a few words in the Quran. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. You know, there is a recent study that came out from the UK that tried to bring to the people's attention what to do, especially for young children, and how to train them and teach them if they were ever to be exposed to adult content on the internet. Wallahi, a UK research. You know the very first thing it said? The very first point on this research. And this is scientists and research and hours and hours, and I don't know what they're doing. The first point, teach the children to look away. That's research. That's already in the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla 1,400 years ago. Look away, and the second thing is, go talk to an adult and go talk to a parent of yours in terms of what you just got exposed to online. And then there are many other things that are mentioned. But the idea is, we already have this guidance. People are paying thousands of dollars for this. It's already here. But our recitation of the Quran is wrong. We're not reciting the Quran with the intention of sourcing and seeking our guidance. Because if that was the case, it would renovate your life. It would completely change your life. At the end of that ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah is well aware of that which they do. Meaning, the greatest weapon against desires is to always be aware of the fact that Allah is watching. That Allah Azza wa Jal is watching. There's nothing greater than this. And that's how the ayah began, and that's how the ayah concluded. There's guidance. Today, in this day and age that we live in this financial crisis that the entire world is going through, people become tempted to go into the bank and take a loan, an interest-based loan, to buy a house. The pressure is on. It's really difficult. And it looks like I'll never be able to afford buying a house in halal. So, might as well go and do what everyone else is doing. Am I the one who has a relationship with the Quran? Just a few words. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى Allah Azza wa Jal permitted lawful transactions. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى And he prohibited al-riba. He prohibited interest. Read this ayah. Read it again and again. And take your guidance from it. Begin to discuss the matter with yourself. Allah has forbidden al-riba. How foolish it is of me to go and exercise this option. Allah, my Lord, the creator, the provider, the sustainer, the one who gave me life, causes my death, decrees all my affairs and matters. Every blessing I have is from him. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ I'm now going to go and wage a war against Allah Azza wa Jal. No, I can't do that. The one who reads the Quran to seek guidance will think twice. Will think three and four and five times before he steps foot into al-haram. The one who reads Quran for other than that, he's disconnected anyway. So you might as well find him. You would find him perhaps lining up to sign that interest-based loan. I want to share with you a moment so that you can think of the situation really well. Adam alayhi salam lived in the paradise for many years from when Allah Azza wa Jal created him. Paradise. That's the very same paradise that you and I continue to say. Allahumma adkhilna al-jannah. This is the dream of all of us. That's our purpose. We want to end up there. So everything we're doing is so that we can enter the paradise. And we're making this dua in our sujood. We're making this dua on the day of Arafah. We're making this dua in every occasion in where the dua is accepted. Adam was already there. He was already there. So anyway, Adam alayhi salam disobeyed his Lord, ate from the tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he needs to be removed from the paradise. So Allah azza wa jal said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا We said to Adam and Hawa and Iblis, descend from the paradise, all of you. How depressing and gloomy and dark this moment was. He's coming down to an earth that is known as Darul Shaqa'i wal Bala', a life of calamity and misery, a life of pain and suffering, a life of toiling labor, a life in which diseases began, old age began, sickness began, death began. He's coming down to this. Dar al-Shaqa. Can you understand what kind of depression there is involved in this? You're coming out from absolute perfection and you're coming to a life of misery. Now you have to work. Adam alayhi salam was the first one to work and provide for his family. Then there's sicknesses to deal with. Then you need to eat and keep eating to remain alive. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا What's the way out? And we're in this life of oppression and injustice and sins and rebellion and corruption. It looks like it's all dark. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى If any one of you receives any guidance from me, Allahu Akbar. The ayat of the Quran are the shining light in this huge darkness that we're living in. How can you afford to abandon this light and run away from it? When people are in the dark, when people are in the desert and it's complete darkness and they see a little flame, everyone runs to it. That's the Quran in the life that we're living in. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. Run to it. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. Listen. Any guidance that comes to you. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايِ. Anyone who follows my guidance. Allahu Akbar. Congratulations. فَلَا يَضِلْ. He will never be led astray. He will never be misguided. Isn't that what we want? Isn't this what we want in this dark day and age we're living? Each and every single one of us every day are asking, how do I remain guided? How do I remain steadfast? How do I remain on the path? How do I die upon la ilaha illallah? Here, here's the answer. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلْ. Anyone who follows my guidance will never be misled. وَلَا يَشْقَى. And he will never be miserable. Rather, he will be happy. He'll be successful. He will actually experience joy and tranquility and peace like no one else. This doesn't mean that he will not be tested. No. He'll be tested. He'll go through sickness. He'll lose money. He'll lose a business. No problems. But he will know how to deal with his calamities by the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll know how to deal with it. He won't lose his deen. He won't lose his sanity. فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Wallahi, I don't know. I don't know how people survive a calamity if they do not seek the guidance from the Quran and from the stories of prophets. I don't know. How do people do it? Wallahi, I don't know. When a person is in an intense calamity, you need to open up the Quran and read the stories of prophets. Read it with the intention of seeking guidance from it. A person is in a calamity. He opens the Quran to Surah Al-Anbiya and reads the story of the Noon alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says about him, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. A person that is going through a calamity, how can he survive if he doesn't find his guidance within this story and this ayah? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he tells us about Yunus alayhi salam. And he ended up in the belly of a whale. This is an intense calamity. He is in three darknesses. The darkness of the belly of the whale, the darkness of the depth of the ocean, the darkness of the night. Even today's technology will not be able to bring him out. Even if he called out to people, no one will have the means to bring him out. He has no phone to communicate with the outside world in terms of where he is. And the first thing he says, La ilaha illa ant, there is no Lord except you. He is busy with the remembrance of Allah more than he is concerned with his calamity. And so, as a person who goes through a calamity and you read this, it teaches you how to deal with your calamity. Focus on dhikrullah. Focus on La ilaha illa ant. And don't put too much energy focusing on the calamity itself. Because the more you think of the calamity, the bigger it grows. And it'll destroy you and shatter you. But start shifting your focus onto Allah wa dhikrullah, which is exactly what Yunus alayhi salam is doing. And he doesn't say La ilaha illallah. He says La ilaha illa ant. There is no Lord except you. You know the word ant, it's a pronoun that you use when you're referring to someone that is close to you. Meaning he recognizes and feels the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, Allah Azza wa Jal says. He knows Allah is close. The one who is attached to the guidance of the Quran knows the reality of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is close to him and hasn't abandoned him. سُبْحَانَكَ. Then he says, سُبْحَانَكَ. He declares the perfection of Allah. praise belongs to you, perfection belongs to you. As though he is cutting all negative thought about Allah from his heart. That Allah, you're perfect. Me in the belly of the whale is not your injustice upon me. It's not oppression upon me. Subhanak! You don't oppress anyone. You don't harm anyone. You're not unjust to anyone. He cuts out the negative thoughts. The one who's reading this story in the Quran, seeking its guidance, will know how to deal with his calamity. Don't have evil and bad thought of Allah in your calamity. The moment you get into a calamity or a calamity strikes you, say Subhanak. So it can cut every negative thought of Allah from your heart. And then Yunus alayhi salam takes it a step further. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I am the wrongdoer. I'm the one that has shortcomings. I'm the one who wronged myself. I'm in this calamity because of what I did. Allahu Akbar. See when you read the Quran with the lens of guidance, how much guidance would it give you in your life? No book on earth will do this. Today, when someone suffers a calamity of some sort, no matter how big it is, the Western world teaches you to rush to the psychologist, do a mental health assessment, get diagnosed, get some therapy. If the therapy is not working, move on to a psychiatrist, get some pills into you. That's what the Western world teaches. When I landed into Sydney and I came out from the airport, there was a massive billboard and it had the word stressed and a question mark. What was the answer? There was a bottle and it said men's multivitamin. That's the solution. I walked into an office, it said stressed, and underneath it, it had a solution with a circle, and it said, bang your head here. That's the solution. There is nothing on earth that will be able to guide you out of your calamity besides the Quran, only if it's read with the lens of guidance, seeking the guidance from it. Hey, don't rush. Don't rush. The Quran was revealed unto the best of creation over 23 years. So if you are able to read it in 23 years, you're doing good. Slowly, easy. Read the ayah once and twice and 10 times. Keep reading until you find a relationship between you and this ayah. Keep reading until you see what I can do from this ayah. If you read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and continued to repeat it until your heart softened and you began to think of Allah's mercy and it pushed you towards saying, oh Allah, I ask you through your mercy that you relieve me from my pain and admit me into the paradise. You are now in a solid relationship with the Quran. This is exactly what's required. You have just read with seeking guidance. That's how we read the Quran. In any matter in life, you will find your guidance within this Quran. That's why we read it, to seek our guidance. And we also read the Quran, perhaps I'll end with this, to remind ourselves. The human being forgets by nature. That's why he was called an insan. You can't even remember what you ate yesterday. And if you said, yes, I do, what did you eat last week? You can't remember. What did you dress up with a month ago? You can't remember now at all. The human being forgets. He is in need of a reminder. We're only gathered here to remind ourselves. Yes, maybe there are things I mentioned in the talk that you know. Yeah, well, no problems. The reminder is necessary. That's not my own analysis. That's what Allah said. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, For verily the reminder benefits the believers. When I remind, that means you already know. When I remind you of something, that means you already know it. The idea is, yes, you can go and scream and say, I know the Quran, I know the message, I know everything. Allah, your creator Allah is saying to you, it's going to benefit you if you remember. I tell you something. Today, the big companies, tech companies, like Apple. Apple are very famous. The majority have Apple phones, iPhones, in their pocket, right? This is not a debate between Apple and Samsung, whatever it is, but I'm just giving you an example. We all have Apple. It's always with you. You always see it. You don't forget it. Aslan, if you forgot it at home, you will immediately remember at the door, you walk back in and you'll get it. That's our attitude. Yet, this company, Apple, finds the incredible need and the desperate need to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars to advertise their product around the world every single month with massive billboards, with just a picture of a phone and down the bottom, new design or coming soon. Millions of dollars are spent to put this in front of you. And I question, why? Who's going to forget? Who's going to forget? It's the talk of everyone. It's in everyone's pocket. Look, it's closer to you than your children and your wife and everything else. Why the need? You see, if they have come to the realization that we are in desperate need of spending this money to put it into your face so that you're always reminded and don't forget. But I'm not going to forget. La la la, it's good. There is benefit in it. La la, put it on. Imagine how much more are we in need of reading the Quran to remember what Allah Azza wa Jal has told us. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we know that there is a hellfire that exists. But the one who read ayat that described the hellfire today and read it with the lens of guidance and seeking a reminder, he will do a lot better in keeping away from a sin than a person who hasn't read a description of the hellfire and the last time he has read that was 2 months ago. The one who read a description of the hellfire today would be able to keep away from a sin better than a person who hasn't read a description of the hellfire only 2 months ago. That's what the reminder does. The one who read today, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah says in Surah Qaf, any single word he utters, the angels are there and they are writing. The one who read this ayah today, and we all know this, but he reminded himself of this fact today, will be a lot more careful when speaking and when commenting, especially nowadays. Today, it's known as a comment culture. People read the comments only 5 seconds after they have watched something of the video. People are interested in comments more than the video itself. I said, well, how am I going to put my 5 cents in there? The one who read the reality of the fact that the angels are writing everything that you say and utter and write as well, because that's considered speech, will be a lot more careful than someone who has forgotten this reality. That's why we read the Quran, to remind ourselves. This is very important. This is why these are the two greatest matters and from the greatest intentions for why a person is supposed to read the Quran. We read it so we can seek our guidance. We read it so we can remind ourselves of what Allah Azza wa Jal has told us. Only then you will begin to experience a sweetness with the Quran. Only then you will realize that I actually have a relationship with this Quran. It's not just a book that I read and I put on the shelf. No, this book is actually living with me. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كان خلقه القرآن كان قرآنا يمشي. His character was the Quran. He was a Quran walking. Meaning the Quran was alive in his heart every second and every moment. I'm not saying to you, be a Quran like this. Be a surah that is walking, my brother. Be an ayah that is walking. One ayah walking. Wake up every morning. Open the Quran. Read 5 ayat. Just 5 ayat. Ya akhi, 2 ayat, no problems. 2 ayat. But read them correctly. Read them for seeking guidance and as a reminder for you. And then walk out of your house. And the entire purpose of your day, as you travel around and meet people and go from place to place, is for these ayat to be the nur and the path and the light for your day and for that night. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَالْبَيْتِ الْخَرِبِ. The one who doesn't have anything of the Qur'an in his heart is like a destroyed, doomed, haunted house. There's nothing no good in it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَصْفَرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ لَيْسَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ أَوْ مَنْ لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ. أَصْفَرُ النَّاسِ. The people that are of zero value, zero worth in the sight of Allah, are those who have nothing of the Qur'an in their heart. Imagine, someone catches you tomorrow morning, says to you, brother, what's living of the Qur'an in your heart this very second? If you can't answer, there's nothing of the Qur'an in your heart, that's a calamity, that's a disaster. But if I was to catch you off guard, brother, what is living of the Qur'an in your heart? You say, Naam, today I read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is Ahad, He's one. And I'm going to put Him one throughout the day and the night. I'm going to prioritize Him. So all the obligations are going to come first and then everything is second. I'm living with an ayah. Allahu Akbar, the heart is alive. That's someone that read the Quran and he's seeking its guidance through his day and through his night. That's how we read the Quran. That's the kind of relationship we are supposed to have with the Qur'an. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this lecture that He grant us goodness, He bestow His mercy and His favor and His gentleness and kindness and compassion upon us all. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He admit us into the highest levels of the paradise. مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us a hasanah in this life and a hasanah in the afterlife, and that He save us from the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from His anger, His punishment, and His curse. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast upon La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah azza wa jal to protect us and to protect our family and our children. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayh. And just before I conclude, I direct your attention to a really good book that you can read that will give you a great understanding of the tafsir and understanding of the ayat. Because obviously what we said is the theory side, and the practical side is for you to go and purchase a book called Tafsir al-Sa'di. Tafsir al-Sa'di. It is a book of tafsir that was written by Al-Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. He is the teacher of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He wrote it in Arabic. Alhamdulillah, a couple of years ago, some brothers got together and they translated it, and it's now translated in 10 volumes. Excellent tafsir, very easy to read, very simple to understand. He actually wrote it while keeping in mind the general Muslim. So you buy a copy so that you read your Quran in the morning, as I said to you, 2 to 3 ayat, you understand them from that tafsir. You sit with yourself and you discuss the ayat and how is this going to be of great guidance for you during the day. And bismillah, off you go. And Allah Azza wa Jal, bi-ithnillah, blesses your day. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun. Quran is full of barakah. So you do that, and I think also there is a PDF copy that you will find online. And do that as a family. because the family that encourages one another upon the recitation of the Quran and the worship is a family that bi-idhnillah يعني maintains its righteousness. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us all goodness. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.